Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him.
Well, welcome back, Bob Ryan. We missed you so, but we are sure that France is much better off for your presence over the last 2 weeks, and hope you're ready to get back to work.
Well, I just have to tell you quickly people, a anecdote from the trip that pertains to what we are doing right now. In the city of Strasbourg, it's a city of 250,000 people, by the way, which is the major city on the eastern border of France with Germany and Switzerland. And that's where we spent some time visiting our granddaughter. In downtown Strasbourg is an NBA store. Now, it's not so shocking that there's an NBA store in Europe because we know, there's an NBA store. Now, you would think, and in 2023, in December of 2023, in France, that store would be Wemby Central, right? It would be Wembyama-centric.
Right.
That it would be overwhelming you with Wemby gear, Wemby stuff, right? Uh-uh. The only Wemby thing I could find was a youth-sized Spurs jersey. Okay. However, inside in the window of the store is a teddy bear dressed in a Celtic jersey number 0. Inside the store is a larger, I forget what it is, a mannequin with number 0. He is the featured person, Jason Tatum, and the Celtics are the featured team, not the Wemby team, which I just found fascinating. And in fact, I even had to ask the guy. I didn't see anything I didn't even see the Spurs jerseys at first.
Right.
And he took me to the back of the room, and held up the pint-sized jersey, youth-sized. And that was the only Wembanyama. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's
the Celtics
funny.
Were well featured. All right. So there we go.
Well, no, but the Celtics, the Celtics, the Canadians, the Cowboys, the Yankees. I mean, Yankees. those are
national. Right.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. But
I can't
believe that they're not pushing Wemby in the NBA store in Strasbourg. That's all.
Right. Or Golden State or Steph. But the fact that it's Tatum is cool. And so, we are brought to you by We are brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook right now. New customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. All right, let's get to the Celtics. You've caught up with them. Gary Washburn, your colleague, and someone who has followed in your footsteps at the Boston Globe, who I think, by the way, is one of the most underrated NBA writers working today. I just want to say because he's not loud. He's not a guy that brings a lot of attention to himself, but I think he's outstanding. And I thought he wrote a terrific article this weekend when he made the point, Bob, that the Celtics last year were 20-5, and this year they're 20-5. We'll get to the undefeated at home in a minute, but boy, how these two teams are totally different.
Well, I read that with great interest, and I have great respect for Gary, and I agreed with him to about 80%.
Okay.
I'm not sold 100% yet that they've conquered this, whatever you call lassitude, this this sloppiness. Even last night, it was so fun. Yesterday afternoon, I should say, it was. If you recall, they were up by.
Talk about the win over Orlando.
They went up by 15 late in the half.
Right.
And immediately had two egregiously sloppy turnovers. One was on a handoff. One was on a pick steal. And you know, when they could have gone up by 19, it went down, it was 11. And later on, they got a little sloppy, went down to 6. And then that's when Brown took over the game, when it got down to 6, by the way. Okay, point being, I was yelling at the screen with those two turnovers. No, not this again. I do have a fixation about how you finish the half, you know, the quarter.
Right.
I admit that. That's one of my little good basketball pet peeves. You know, you got to finish it. And I just replied, please, you're not giving me it. I, honest to God, I felt like I would have called, and it was something earlier in the game that I would have called timeout to say, hey, boys, you know, they were up, you know, they had been cruising, going great. Then they got sloppy for a couple of possessions. I would have called timeout, that's me, and said, boys, cut the crap. You know, don't get sloppy. You got this lead for a reason. Don't think game's over. And definitely, you know, I really, really like what Orlando is doing. As if I were an Orlando fan, that's a growth stock, that team, I think. And so I got respect for them and the way they're being handled, they're approaching their job. And so anyway, that's all. I'm not ready to go quite as far as Gary in saying they're completely different, but they are markedly different and they are more encouraging. And it is a more meaningful 20-5 than last year's 20-5. So that's all. But I'm stopping a little short of Gary's full endorsement. That's all.
Is that a Celtics problem? I'm asking this. I'm not debating this, but is that a Celtics problem or is that an NBA problem? Does that happen with every team?
Oh, I think it's definitely it's something that almost anybody is susceptible to. No question. You know, you just like to be different. That's all. I mean, you know, let's face it. You, me, anybody who's interested enough in basketball to be part of our wonderful audience cares and understands. We have set a high bar for this team. They have put themselves in a position that the way that this team has evolved in the last in what we're going to call the Tatum Brown era. This is what we're in. We're in a historical era. The Celtics, they can be easily broken down into very discernible eras with certain players as the marquee, going back to 1946, for God's sake. But certainly since Cousy showed up in 50, okay, and. And this is the Brown Tatum era. Now it has resulted in a lot of nice, fun games and a lot of highlights, but not a title yet. And that's the bar that they have to that's the goal here in Boston. We know that. Even though we've only had one championship in 37 years, by the way, people that was in 2008. But still, the bar is always there for the Celtics. That's they have wandered into a team's culture and history that they have been, you know, they're part of now. So I think I'm answering your question. Yeah, almost any team is susceptible to it. This team is so good and at its best. They are so talented and capable of such greatness that we just don't want to see them susceptible to that. That's all.
Okay, were you a columnist? You were a columnist, I believe, in 86 when they lost one game at home, correct?
No, I took the torch from Dan. I was the beat man.
Oh, you were the beat man in 86.
Dan Shaughnessy, the chain of events began in January of 1986. Peter Gammons left the Globe to go back to Sports Illustrated. He had been there once before. And we weren't even writing baseball, believe it or not. That's how stupid they were when I got him the first time. He went back to Sports Illustrated. At that milli instant, I know my friend Dan Shaughnessy put his hand up, even though he was covering and knew he was covering a great basketball team, a potentially great one and a very good one. I want baseball. That's in his blood. That's Dan Shaughnessy's
right.
Home base. No question. There's no argument. Basketball is his second, but right. It's baseball. Okay. So he got the job and he finished up the road trip in February, the famous February road trip. And I took the torch back from him, having given up the team in 82 over to him when I left the Globe to go to television, by the way,
right.
At that time. But I came back in 84. And I was a general NBA, you know, at large guy. I was right. I was Gary Washburn.
Right.
To Dan's, you know, to Adam Himmelsbach's Dan,
right.
Okay? I was Washburn. And I did the NBA in general, blah, blah, blah. So I got the team back. And so I finished up that season from the February until the game six against Houston. So we now Dan has written a tremendous book called I wish it would never end.
I wish it would never end.
But I like to have to kid him. I said, I finished the job.
Do you see? I have to be careful how I phrase this. But when I think, and again, we know it's early, but you know, with technology, we talk about things that are happening today. The Celtics are 14-0 at home. That team at home was, as we know, the 86 team was unbeatable. They lost one game. And is it possible for this team to accomplish something similar?
I find it hard to believe because I have such an exalted opinion of the 85-86 team, which, by the way, technically speaking, was 37-1 here and 3-0 in Hartford, just so people know. In those days, they had three games.
Right.
They were 37. And that loss was to Portland in this early December. And they were down and they came back and they took the lead for one possession in that game. And then Portland stormed back and beat them. The Flying Burrito Brothers, as Dan called them. It was Jerome Kersey and the guard. I forget. It'll come to me. But anyway, that was the Portland team to beat them. They beat them in early December. And their second, when they got into gear, they hit high gear in January and never took the foot off the pedal
right
after that. And it was a home game against the Lakers in which Walton came off the bench and blocked the Kareem shot and the place went crazy. And Larry hit us from three threes. And they won their last, I think it was 13, their last 15 home games by an average of 13 points. And that's a lot. That's a high bar to say that they're going to go undefeated at home. But it's something to shoot for naturally.
Tell you anything about this team? I mean, the home court advantage, obviously they're very comfortable. That's one thing I've noticed about this team this year is I think they're very comfortable in their own skin. I think Tatum is very calm. We're going to get to Brown in a minute. I want to talk about him specifically. Everybody seems to be comfortable in their own skin and very comfortable at home.
Yeah, and the guards, by the way, are part of that. Holiday, no false advertising with Holiday. he's in a town where we have Hill Holiday. There's no false advertising
right.
He is everything we thought he was supposed to be. Both ends of the floor, classy guy. Everything about him is a dream come true. The other guy, I'll go back when they got Devin White. I keep calling him Devin.
Yeah, Derek
when they
White.
Got
yeah.
Derek White. I said, "Whoa, okay, interesting." I knew there was such a guy in the league as Derek White, but I had paid no attention to him. And I went and looked him up. And I said, "Oh my God, he averaged 14 last year. I had no idea." And now I watch him play, and of course, we know he had a great start, and not such good. And now we see him absolutely at his peak of his career, and you know what he reminds me of? I'm trying to find a proper. He's like an efficient butler, and any household job you need, he can take care. He goes about his business unobtrusively, but efficiently. That's Derek White, what a solid player he is.
I'm trying to think. You may remember when you say an efficient butler. I got to find my phone here. I don't know if I'll – oh, it's under the paperwork. The butler in the film with Dudley Moore, Arthur.
Oh, Arthur, yes.
Yeah, the British actor, his name escapes me, but he was like that. He got him on the road. He got him on the right path. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, he's been something else. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
I asked the question after watching him play for a few weeks 2 years ago. I said, why'd they give him up? And I still don't know. I don't know. Is it a contractual thing? I don't know.
Right. I don't know.
I'm very happy they did.
He's playing the best basketball of his career here. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in my opinion.
I love when he gets a steal and takes off. And his finishes are really – his offhand, his left hand is tremendous. I mean, there are pros. Obviously, they're pros, and they all should have a good offhand. But obviously, some are better than others. His is really good, and he squeezes himself into situations going to the hoop, which I said, he's going to be stuff down his throat. Nope, doesn't happen. He gets through. No, and then, of course, he starts back and hits the comp three, makes the great bounce pass on the pick and roll. He just touches all the bases. I love this guy.
Bob Ryan tweeted over the weekend, stop worrying. I see if I can write my own writing. Stop worrying and saying, wow. I was going to ask you about load management. But the other one was, the other tweet had to do with Jaylen Brown. You had a tweet on Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
And the tweet on Jaylen Brown basically was, stop worrying about the fact that he's making so much money and just enjoy what you're seeing. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So I'll let you elaborate on that, because we saw in the last game against Orlando where Jaylen really picked up the slack when they needed it.
Well, it had to do with the fact that he had this great fourth quarter yesterday, and it was needed. And people say, well, they won by 17. Well, guess what? The lead was down to 6, having been 15. And we were talking earlier about, letting things get sloppy like last year. And he's the guy to pick them up and carry them to the finish line yesterday. He's the guy, not Tatum, not White, not Porzingis. It was him. And it just struck me. People are piling on at times, too much piling on him. We talked about it, and anybody in position to have a forum had to be addressing it before the season, that he has to live with the fact that his number in the eyes of most people is not 7. It is 304,000,000,000. That's his number, or whatever, or 340, whatever it is. I know it's 300 million plus. Okay. So, and that's the way people, and he's going to be unfairly judged, because that's a lot to live up to. What's he supposed to do? Turn down the money? No, he's a creature of circumstance. He will not be the highest paid player next year, but he is this year. And that's the way it works in sports now. Timing is everything in that regard. So, but people are, and yes, I'm right there. He was terrible in the playoffs last year at times. And his ball handling was awful, and his judgments and dribbling into traffic. He's improved it somewhat, not 100%, but he's improved it somewhat. But all I wanted to make a point is that guy carried him yesterday, and he's damn good. He may not be perfect. No, he's not. He's still got something to work on, but he's awful good. And let's just give him credit for that. And on a day when, frankly, he picked him up and carried him across the finish line, he deserves credit. That's all. I just want to, I know the haters, not haters, but the naysayers are out there, and people, and I really do blame talk shows and the mentality that evolved over the last 30 years in American sports fandom, that everything is so championship centric. You got, and when you play in 82 games, you want them to be enjoyable games, right? And this team has given us a highly enjoyable season, as have many other Celtic seasons teams over the years. And this guy's an integral part of it. And let's just lay off that. I appreciate what he is, and I know it's hard for people to get past the money. I understand that, but you've got to do it.
What I appreciate about his game this year as opposed to last year is he seems to be playing freer to me. He's just letting it happen. Where to me, Jaylen Brown, the issue he had last year is I thought it was a little bit psychological. I thought it was psychological, to be honest with you, because I think he's had a very hard time figuring out who he is because of what you're talking about. He's a top three pick. He's compared to Tatum. He feels he has to be as good as Tatum. All of these things. We're still talking about guys that are in their 20s. We're still talking about kids. So to me, when Jaylen went through the slump, he was trying to figure out who the hell he is. Like, what is he, right? Yeah. This year, I think he knows who he is.
Well,
yes, he's flawed with the ball handling, but when Jaylen Brown plays his ass off, I'm good. And this year, he is playing free to me. He is playing with, I should say over the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's playing free. He's not worrying about things. And he's just playing. My old colleague, Donnie Marshall at Comcast Sportsnet, used to just say to me, and sometimes I'd say, he go, just play basketball. I go, yeah, that's kind of a general topic. And then he just said to me, he goes, no, Gary, forget about the lights. Forget about the money. Just pretend you're on the playground when you are 18 and just go play basketball. He said, when guys do that, that's when they're at their best. And
no, it looks like
to me, that's what Jaylen Brown is doing right now. And you saw it against Orlando. It was like, he's just free. And that's why I really enjoy, I've enjoyed his game over the last month.
I'll tell you somebody who embodies that right now at age 21 or whatever he is, Paolo Banchero. He is a basketball player, you know, capital B, capital P. He understands how to play this game at a young age with a range of skill. You know, this is the 10-year of all-star. This is a first team all-league potential. This is a perennial, you know, this guy can really play. We'll talk about, and it makes the game, I won't say look easy, but reasonable somehow, you know, he just knows how to play. And the matchup with he and Tatum was fascinating. You know, and also I thought that Scal, who by the way, Brian Scalabrine, is an underrated commentator. I enjoy his approach to the game. And he made a great point about watching how, see if Banchero would bounce back after a subpar performance on Friday night, how he would play in the bounce back game. And of course, we saw how he would play. You know, he kept him in the game by himself the whole day, you know, until fourth quarter. But he was terrific. I give you an exhibit A. I learned that one if I needed 10 years into my career. We had a guy named Larry Bird. You may remember him.
I do.
And we were on a road trip in San Francisco, and he had the worst game at that point in his young career, in his rookie year, the worst game. I called it 8 bricks and a block. He was like 1 for 9. He did have 14 rebounds, which tell you, you know, he always helped you to win in some way. But that was on Friday night. He had 8 bricks and a block and a terrible game. Now we get to Portland on Sunday, and I'm wondering, how's Larry going to come out? Hits his first 6 and went for 33.
Right.
And that is exactly what Scal – I mean, I thought about that immediately when Scal brought up the Banchero question yesterday. Banchero answered the question the way Larry – so it was a great point that he made, and that's a point that an athlete, you know, commentator, you know, that's what we're paying him to bring those kind of insights. And I think Scal provides those kind of insights quite frequently.
Well, Scal, as we know, over time, Scal will be appreciated, but he's following a legend. That's the tough
part. Oh, yeah, with beloved Tommy. And Tommy, yeah, Tommy, I mean, had established, Tommy developed a shtick and the Tommy points and the referee baiting and the God, you know, and of course, no, Tommy was, he was Mr. Celtic. You realize, I mean, he was the employee of the Boston Celtics in one capacity or another from 1956 until the day he died.
And there's no doubt. And,
if anybody earned the title Mr. Celtic, it was Tommy Heinsohn.
Yeah, and over time, but you know, it's just as time goes by, people will learn to appreciate Scal just as you said.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action in NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you got your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame moneyline wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Okay, let's talk about some platooning here. Between Tatum and Porzingis, your thoughts on this, because we're talking about
load management, Bob.
And the commissioner had some thoughts on this that I'll get to in a minute. But, you know, with Porzingis, you want to take care of this guy, and obviously they're a different team with him. You know, on back-to-back nights, do you say, Porzingis, you're going one game, Tatum, you go the other?
This is what they're going to have to figure out. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, with Horford, we understand why at age 37, it's advisable. I'm disappointed that at age, he is mid-20s. He's older than people realize right now. He's been around. But still, at his age, you got to do it. But he is fragile. And when people talk about the final potential of this team, you know, the potential, the championship potential of this team, it's got to include Porzingis being available when they need him most. And his history is that you can't count on that. We cannot count on that yet. And so they have, it's a tough decision. A very, very tough decision. And so I wish it weren't the case. I wish all we had to worry about was Horford, then that would make sense, you know. But this is why we're paying, you know, Brad and Joe the big money, right. You know, figure it out. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm going to sit back and watch and see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think
out.
It's something you're going to have to – they got to manage it.
Yeah, you they know, do.
It's
a shame that it's an issue because of Porzingis is, you know, still relatively young age.
Well, he's fun to watch. I mean, let's face it, Bob. I mean, you have been very clear about how you've changed your tune of Porzingis. Oh. When the Celtics have Porzingis, it's a fun game. I mean, it's inside, man. It's outside, it's threes, it's block shot. I mean,
he's got versatility. How about that back dunk yesterday on that when he ran up over two guys and you know, he can do stuff. He's a threat there. You know, that was the biggest threat offensive thing that Robert Williams could do. And, you know, he's forgotten now, you know, and by the way, he's hurt. And I so bad. I want this kid to have a career, you know, Robert Williams III. But the stuff that he did, they're making up for it. And Porzingis has helped them in a lot of ways. My vision of him was completely wrong. And I'm so happy to confess to that. I'm so pleased to be proven that my initial reaction was totally wrong.
Adam Silver, who right now has a lot of cred, a lot of credibility because of the success of the in-season tournament, has commented on load management. And the league has paraphrased, if you will, that there is no data that supports that load management prevents injuries. As a matter of fact, there's some theories that by sitting a player too much may lead to injury. I do think that the in-season tournament was great because it prevented teams from falling back on load management. And the league has obviously taken a stand where, like, look, people are paying good money to see these games. Guys are going to play. But what's your theory on what Silver is saying about the load management data?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not the expert on this topic with him, this is a bit of revisionist history, is it not? That he is now saying that the data doesn't exist, data doesn't exist. When I got the implication when they, that it did. So this is where I'm a little bit confused. And happy though that he's leaning now in the side of, you know, of making these guys, these teams play these guys. And so I'm totally on board with the idea. But so how he arrived at this conclusion, I'm a little bit, you know, curious, that's all.
Money.
About the
money, Bob.
Yeah.
It's always
right. Yeah, of course. Oh, why that? Why is that's why? The how is another matter.
Well, I think what everybody saw, Bob, and you and I both admitted we were going in with open eyes, no opinion. But the in-season tournament was a fantastic success. People loved it. It was great basketball. People were watching it, and the product was great. And the reality is, when you pay for season tickets, and this is, I think, what Silver has learned in doing a 180, whatever, they've come to this conclusion. Bob Ryan pays for his season tickets. The guy's got to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's still commerce. This is still a business. The NBA fan is the customer. Bob Ryan goes to the game. He's paid very good money, hundreds of dollars to see these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They expect to see the player. It's just like, I mean, you know, I mean, on occasion on Broadway, you'll go to see the star and the star's out because he's sick. Okay, that's one thing. But like, you know, if you went to see, you know, Les Mis, you know, and Jean Valjean said, I don't feel like playing tonight. You know, people be pissed.
No question.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, this is legit. This is the way it should be done for the customer.
Well, you know, you and I and people older than us grew up, it wasn't even a remote issue. You know, it was never an issue in the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson era. It didn't exist. Guys wanted to play 82 games, and they were disappointed when they didn't. And it wasn't even a remote thought. This is something that's crept into the game gradually, and Pop started really got the trend going when he and hitting it head on when he would sit Duncan down, and what was the phrase he used? DNP something. He came up with a funny thing about.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, but that was Pop. Pop is the one that started.
Well, started it all because of Duncan. I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and so, but and you're actually. I mean, Exhibit A is right now about somebody. I'm sure Joe Fan putting out the big money, taking the family, taking the son. I want you to see LeBron James' son. This great, you know, and he's 38 years old. He's going to be 39 and as we speak in 12 days. And you want him playing, you know, and yet again, you can understand if the 39-year-old guy takes a day off, but you don't want to see some 28-year-old guy taking one off just because. No. Well, I think Silver's recognizing the issue and addressing it. I'm just curious as to I thought the data supported otherwise. I'm glad that whatever he's saying now, fine, I'm all with it. I want these guys playing.
Well, we all know, Bob, you can massage data any which way you want.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, Draymond Green, a very disturbing, very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. I mean, he's at least gone for the year. Now they're talking about maybe trading him to Dallas. I mean, this is a guy that needs therapy, I think.
Well, suddenly, that this is a big step to go from where they were managing a hot-headed recalcitrant, you know, emotionally fueled player into actually openly hinting about a mental issue.
Stability, yeah. There's something off.
When you use that loaded phrase, the help somebody needs, that means one thing. There's a mental, that they're mentally, sure. You know, I won't say ill, but hurting and whatever. And that's a whole other new range. And that's somewhere where if he's agreeing to this, that's very, you know, I'm
surprised. But it was crazy, Bob. I mean, it was almost like, Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich was a little more deliberate, but you know, it was
that was a freak of nature accident that everything went wrong. I mean, we can talk, but it came down to Kermit Washington was a freaky thing. He didn't know who was coming up behind him, and the punch was the perfect punch. A big strong guy hit the Rudy in the face at the right place to cave in almost the whole face. You know?
Right.
It could have just broken his nose or his jaw, right. But it inflicted very serious damage in a very freaky way. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Draymond, and he's been indulged there. Now everybody's going to start saying, I think, I agree, he's indulged there too long. One reason was they really believed they needed him. You know, they needed what he brought to win four titles. So they got four titles out of him. Although they could have been a fifth if he hadn't got himself suspended in the game. You know,
right?
No, and suspended for a crucial time of the series against Cleveland. So it's an interesting story, but you know, I have limited sympathy for him. I mean, you know, and I
right.
if he is truly mentally ill, that's a whole other matter. But boy, this is a new dimension that we hadn't entered into with him before.
Well, it's something's off. I mean, I don't mean to play Zoom psychologist, but you know, I saw that play, and when everybody saw the play in there, we were like, "Whoa!" Like, okay, this is more than just Draymond being Draymond. This is out of hand.
Then he tried to say, oh, I didn't mean to do it. Or I was just complaining about the foul. Come on. Saw it. No, Draymond, that doesn't come with it.
So, but I don't know. I'm going to test your memory. Has anybody ever been suspended indefinitely?
What was the outcomes at the palace, Malice at the Palace? I'm trying to remember what the outcomes were there.
They weren't, but they eventually got games. I mean, there was a stay. There was like, they eventually got games, and there was a hearing. But you know, when you say indefinitely, to me, that means we're stepping back. We're going to take a long, hard look at this picture. Like, I don't think it's just going to be a hearing. is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, no. Well, he's big. No, it's not good. Well,
yeah,
it's because if you just step back, the things he does bring to the table in a basketball sense, we're very good.
And, oh, and terrific.
I mean, I like this guy at Michigan State, and I didn't understand how he could beat a 35th pick in the draft to start with, which is what he was, by the way. And when he was worthy, and he proved that was ridiculous. And the next question is, you know, people are actually legitimately talking about him in the Hall of Fame, which I'm stepping short of that, but he will definitely be nominated, I would think, you know, and although depending on what the outcome of all this is now, he would have been. He was on a path, I'll put it that way. He had been on a path until we got to this particular point. So
Well, I've always been a fan, and I hope he gets help, and I hope they rectify the situation. The whole thing was just terrible.
By the way, as we speak, they're coming off a game in which Curry had his consecutive three-point shot streak broken in the 280s and had 7 points, and they still won. Interestingly,
good time for them.
Yeah.
Curry, did you see that he is the first player to make 3,500 three-pointers?
Oh, well, of course he is the symbol of the shot. You know, before him, you could argue Reggie Miller, you could argue, right. You know, but he is the symbol of the shot.
Bob, how about these numbers? He did it in 789 games, 511 fewer than Ray Allen.
Oh no, he's the man. I mean, he is, and he's the most influential player of the 21st century because he has had an influence on the game right down to the youth level, and that'll never go away. I mean, the three is here to stay, and he is the leading practitioner of all time. He is the symbol of it. He's the patron of it. No, that's it. And he's the most influential player of the 21st century. I don't see how anybody can argue otherwise.
Well, I know that you're not, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't think you were a fan of the three.
You got that right.
I think I would do away with it. Bought into it and say it's here, but the three-pointer from Steph Curry has changed the game in a wonderful way, an exciting way. It's just been good for business.
Well, people love it. It's theater. Now, I keep pointing out to people that this is the gimmick of a promoter, Abe Saperstein. Right. And he put it in the American Basketball League in 1961. The league folded in its second year. The Eastern Basketball League, which was then the second best league in the world, adopted it. And then in 1966, the ABA, looking to separate itself from the NBA, was logical for them to pick it up, as well as the red, white, and blue basketball. You know,
right.
But they had it. And that's how you go. But it was the gimmick of a promoter, and we didn't need it. The game didn't need it. No one was. I mean, I'm old enough. There was no agitation in 1961 for the three. There was nothing. The game was going along just fine. Everybody, it was what it was. Nobody was agitating. But he put it in the game, and people, for reasons that elude me. But it's like a lot of things in life. Some people like to eat beets. I don't know why that is either. But so you know, I'm fine. But beet salad, yuck. But anyway,
with some Gorgonzola, Bob, I'm right there, kid.
Well, see, you know, we'll agree to disagree, but people love it. I understand that it's great theater, and nobody is more theatrical with it, you know, with that mouthpiece hanging out, and he keeps expanding his range. I saw one 2 days ago that I swear to God, it was 10 feet past the arc.
Oh, it's amazing.
And he's got other people doing it. Trey
Young.
He shoots up from there, Trey Young. Guys, more and more guys are expanding their range. And I'm telling you, the four is coming. And I hope I don't live to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't know if we need the four. A guy that hasn't gotten a lot of Luka down in Dallas with his eighth 40-point triple-double. He had 40 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. So he passed your guy Cowens, who had 7. And you just think about, like, I thought about, like, Dave for a minute. 7 40-point triple-doubles without a three.
Without a three. That's amazing. No, he's special. He's special. He's no question.
You know, yeah. But Luka's now with Westbrook, Harden, and Oscar, but like Oscar and Dave did it without threes. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, Oscar, you know, no three. Oscar, no, and it, but that's what they did. But no, he's you, that, no, but you can't. And they're winning more this year. Of course, Kyrie's around. He's not around at the moment. He's always it's always hurt. It's hurt again. Hurt his foot.
Right.
But no, he's wonderful. And I love about Doncic. He just moves at his pace, and nobody gets him out of his rhythm. You know, he moves it, and as does Jokic. They both move at their own pace, and they don't look like they're quicker. You wonder how they don't lose the ball, or they get wherever they want to go. He gets right. Wherever he wants to go, and he's got extraordinary vision. No, he's a special, special player.
Bob, we're going to end with some pop culture, because what people have come to realize, like my friend Rich Kimball up in Bangor said, I had no idea Bob Ryan knew so much about Frank Sinatra. I said, Bob Ryan knows about a lot of things. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce right now are the it couple, right? Yeah. She was at Foxborough Stadium. Yeah. Would you compare them to DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe?
The first thing is that DiMaggio was retired for 2 years, I believe, by the time they got married. I don't know how long the courtship was. The marriage lasted 9 months, by the way. And yet he carried a torch for her the rest of his life. So that was one of those things. Like Sinatra and David Gardner, you know, the true love of his life, even though he was married three other times. Right. But anyway, I can't say no, because until the Era Tour, because the furor over the tickets and her, when she had launched the tour, the Era Tour.
Oh, it broke the Ticketmaster.
Okay,
ticket
the furor over the tickets caught my attention, because I was unaware of the scope of her celebrity. Unaware. I could truthfully say that I cannot identify a single Taylor Swift song. I am not up on any contemporary music. You want to talk 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s? I'm right there. You want to talk jazz and country, not country, but Broadway and the Great American Songbook and 50s and 60s rock and roll. I am right there. I am not there now. I didn't realize the scope of her celebrity. It's staggering to me how big she is. And I can't say no, it probably is. But but Joe DiMaggio, as you know, as Paul Simon was reminded us by sticking him in lyrics and forever and song, that was a little more iconic overall. When baseball was the king and foot, you know, that, and Kelce is not the most famous player. If it were Mahomes, maybe I would be more inclined to say yes.
Oh, Brady's.
I'm not downplaying her celebrity, but Travis Kelce ain't Joe DiMaggio. He's not.
But I was thinking about this, you know, Brady, because of the way he carried himself and just the way he was perceived and certainly what he did, Brady's the closest thing to DiMaggio, in my opinion. So you had to, you had Brady and G, and G obviously was not Marilyn, but like Taylor Swift.
She's arguably the most famous model in the world, in English speaking.
She is, but like Marilyn, but she's not Marilyn. Taylor Swift is Marilyn. Taylor Swift is Marilyn Monroe. She is.
So it's fun. I love, look, I don't know how real it is or isn't. I think it's fun. It's fine with me. So,
I'll put you on the spot. Is there any other famous sports Hollywood couple you remember? Because I couldn't really think of anybody else.
Jane Russell was married to Bob Waterfield, I think, at one point. When he was a quarterback for the Rams.
Yeah.
There was in the vaudeville era.
Oh,
if
boy.
We go back to, I'm just telling you, in the vaudeville era, going back to like 1910, 11, 12, somewhere in there, there was an enormous vaudeville star named Mabel Height, H-I-T-E. And she married Laughing Larry Doyle of the New York Giants, who I would say would be, oh, I don't know. I would give the equivalent of, I'm trying to think of an all-star, a solid all-star, but not a Hall of Famer. But Mabel Height and Larry Doyle, that was big. I'm sure when we're done, you know what's going to happen.
You're going to think about Tenable. Yeah,
I'm going to be 5 minutes later. But DiMaggio and Marilyn is the gold standard of these unions. There's no question.
Bob Ryan's going to make it.
Oh, one other. Oh, Oh, of course, not internationally. One of the most famous ones was Edith Piaf and Marcel Cerdan. Marcel Cerdan was either the welterweight or middleweight champion of the world in the late 40s when his plane went down. And I don't know if they were ever married, but they were a couple. And she, of course, Edith Piaf, come on. So there's one for you, Marcel Cerdan and Edith Piaf.
What was Larry's last name again?
Laughing Larry Doyle.
I want a T-shirt that says Bob Ryan remembers Laughing Larry Doyle.
And Mabel Hyten. And I can tell you, we used to talk about this one when I was at Channel 5 with my friend and producer, Bobby Clark. He knew about it.
You're the best, Bob. Hey,
can I have a quick one?
Yeah.
My best wishes go out to an extraordinary human being. And over and above the fact that he had the greatest career in the history of basketball, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fell at a concert over the weekend and broke his hip and is convalescing. And I just wish Kareem the best because, you know, I don't know if people are realizing what his second life is so extraordinary in so many ways, but this, he puts out a daily thing in a Substack of everything, political commentary to musical selections. And it's one of the most readable things you can find out there. And I wish Kareem the best. But I'm reminded always, and my wife and I kid about this almost every day of our lives at our advanced age, which is the advice that Bill Russell told me to my face, the great advice on aging he got from Red Auerbach. Two words, don't fall. And how many times you pick up obits, Gara, and read about an elderly person and as a result of a fall. Right. Yeah. And so we kid about this all the time. Kareem fell, and that's a long fall. Think about it. So I wish him Kareem the best.
Bob, we wish you the best. We'll talk to you again next week. Maybe you'll get your Santa hat out. All right, Bob Ryan. And ho, ho, ho. Sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. All right, Bob, we'll see you.